take your Bible, and I do plan on turning it tonight in your Bible. I'd love for you to begin, if you would, in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is located in the Old Testament. Begin, if you would, in chapter number 3. Nehemiah chapter number 3 will give us a starting point. Actually, my main verse will be in chapter number 4. In praying for the service tonight, I was allowed opportunity by the Spirit of the Lord not to come to the book of Deuteronomy tonight. I probably will pick that up next Wednesday night. But I have been, just like you, kind of dominated with Christmas and dominated with New Year. And, you know, just kind of finishing the year, as we preached on Sunday, looking back at 2017, grateful. Looking back and looking forward in 2018, hopeful. And I knew that if you were going to come to Bible study tonight, you must love Jesus. Because you had every excuse in the book to stay home tonight. And I wanted to preach, do more of a teaching and encouraging lesson tonight. To help us in our walk with the Lord and to help us in the year of 2018. And I want to preach you a message tonight entitled, "The Danger of a Defeated Mind." The danger of a defeated mind. And I want to preach tonight, really and truthfully, about your mind. I want to preach tonight about your mindset as you come into 2018. And I want you to have a proper mindset. I want 2018 to be a year, hopefully, as you walk with the Lord and follow the Lord's will and guidance and leadership in your life, one that you will know to be a victorious year. I'm not saying that it won't have battles. You have to have battles in order to have victory. And we all know that life is what it is, but we know that the great shepherd walks with us and leads us and cares for us and guides us and has made promises to us. But I want to talk about your mind tonight. I took a Vine's Expository Dictionary, which is a book that helps you with biblical words, and kind of looked up the word mind. And here's what Vine said about the word mind as it is found in the Word of God. In the New Testament, there are really two words that are most commonly translated about your mind. The first word denotes the seat of reflective consciousness. If you want to describe or define your mind is the seat of reflected consciousness, comprising the faculties of perception, understanding, feeling, judging, and determining. That's what your mind does. It works on the faculties of perception, understanding, and it has those of feeling, of judging, and determining. The second word that is used to define your mind carries with it the action of a thinking through. You use your mind to think through. I touched on that when it came to Joseph being a man that was a thoughtful man a few weeks ago. A thinking through, or a thinking over, a meditation, a reflecting. It signifies the faculty of knowing and understanding and of moral reflection. The Bible says a lot about different types of minds. As you study the Bible, you will find that there's despiteful minds, there's your right mind, there's an evil affected mind, there's a reprobate mind, there's a carnal mind, there's a spiritual mind, there's a vain mind, a fleshly mind, a corrupt mind, a high mind, a pure mind, a defiled mind, a sober mind, and a mind that has wisdom. The Bible says a lot about our minds. You find that your mind can do some neat things. The Bible tells us that your mind in Genesis can be grieved. Your mind can know desire. Your mind can know sorrow. Your mind can be willing. Proverbs says that your mind can be uttered. We all know that to be true. Amen. The Bible says that your mind can be hardened. In the book of Habakkuk, it even says that your mind can be changed. The Bible says a lot about your mind. And then it would also lead us to understand that your mindset, how you think, It's so important in your life. Especially is it important in your spiritual life. And as your pastor tonight, I kind of wanted to take the first Bible study of the year and preach to you on the subject of the danger of a defeated mind. You know, you need your mind and a proper mindset to know victory. And your mind can be an encouragement or a discouragement to you. And a defeated mind is a mind that will never know victory. All four of my kids have grown up playing sports in the community. They play for the city of Plantation. Some of your kids play with my kids, and they play soccer, and I guess soccer is the main one that they play. Madison started, and she's a pretty good goalie. She led her team to a championship one year, and she played goalie. Casey, her and her team, they won a championship two or three seasons. Believe it or not, Casey can play soccer. She's nice and smiley here, but on that field, she's mean. And she's aggressive, and she can score goals. She does a pretty good job at that. Tommy played with a bunch of the kids, and he played with your brother. He played with Josh Actor. He played with Ruben. Played with Jared Powell. Played with the kids from church here. And I'm not sure they as a team won a championship. He won a championship one year in the league. But Tommy was a pretty good defender. What he lacked in speed, he made up in mass. And you weren't going to get past Tommy. But the best soccer player in our family is Allie. Now, they're all out there, so they can't hear this. Allie is phenomenal. She has an advantage over them in that Allie's mind is amazing. She is, and I tell her this in front of the rest of the kids, you may think I'm mean, but she's the smartest kid I have. Casey takes tremendous exception to that. But Allie, her birthday is September 26th. Is that right? September 26th. And when you play in the City League, they have, you know, like 7 and 8, 9 and 10, 11 and 12, so on and so forth. And your birthday has to fall at a certain time. Well, for your birthday to fall, it has to fall like by September 1, prior to September 1, or somehow her birthday misses it. So she's 12 years old, and she's in the 10 and the 11 league. Now, for a 12-year-old, the whole world has fallen if you get put back in the 10 and 11 year, right? And so we tried to get her to be moved up because her skill level's above that, and she, quote-unquote, didn't want to play with the babies. No offense to any 10-year-olds that are in here right now. And but it's kind of worked out pretty good because not only is she better than them in her athletic ability, but in her mind. Now, did anybody in here play sports when you were growing up? Anybody play sports? I was not a great athlete. I did have athlete's foot twice, though, so I understand how that goes. But when you play sports, especially when you come into a sport, you practice and you practice and you practice, but there's nothing like the speed of the game. So you take, and Joe played football for Eastern Michigan University, played in the Big House against Michigan, and was offensive lineman. Yeah, and if you YouTube him, you'll see him sitting on the bench for most of those. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He played football there. He did great. So when you come out of high school, you're like a senior. You're like king of the high school. But you come into college, the speed of the game. And then when these guys graduate college and they go into the pros, the speed of the game. And you'll constantly hear him talking about slowing the game down in your mind, right? So Allie's out there now, and the game is real slow in her mind. And when the game's real slow in her mind, it enables her to use her abilities. And in like three or four games, she's already got 10 goals. One she scored for the other team. Don't tell her I told you that, but it went off her and it went into the net. However, when you play in a league, you're never the best player. You're never the best player. There's always somebody a little bit better than you. So they got this one team in the league this year. And these girls are monsters. I mean, they're tremendous. I would not want to be in front of them when they kick the ball. And they're supposed to be 12 years old, okay? And so Allie had to play them the other day. And she's getting ready for the game. And she had hurt herself right here. And so we had to ace bandage her up. And I noticed that she just didn't have that spark, that eagerness to go play the game. It wasn't like her. And so I'm wrapping her leg, and she's kind of moping a little bit and walking around. And then we get in the car, and I said, "Allie, what's wrong?" And she says, "We can't beat these guys." And I said, "Allie, you're already defeated in your mind. You're already defeated in your mind. And if you go into a game thinking you can't beat somebody, what's going to happen? You're beat in your mind." And so I spent the next few minutes trying to encourage her in her mind. I have found that this principle carries over not only in the world of sports, but it also carries over into the spiritual world. And a lot of people, if they're not careful, Christian people, they get so defeated in their mind that they never are aggressive in walking by faith. They never learn to walk by faith. They see everything as a mountain that's unclimbable. They see everything as a step too far. They see everything as being too difficult, and they are already suffered defeat in their mind. Well, God's just, this prayer request is just too big, or this need is just, I mean, and this can't happen. And if you allow defeat to anchor in your mind, you're never going to know a victorious Christian life. You're going to live under the power of that defeat. So your mind is so important. I want to prove it to you. Come, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah. You know the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 1, you understand that Nehemiah is heartbroken for Jerusalem. You understand that he's received the word that the walls have been broken down. You understand the burden that he has, the prayer. You understand in chapter number 2 that God answers that prayer, and God sends Nehemiah and enables him to go back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah gets there in chapter number 2. And begins to explain to those Jews that are there his burden and his purpose. When you get to verse number 18 of chapter number 2, he says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and," what, class? "Build." Now, don't lose me. This is going to be one of the best messages that I've ever preached. I've been excited all day to preach this thing to you. "So they strengthened their hands for this good work," right? So they're encouraged in what they're going to do. Verse number 19 begins with what word? "But." And there's always a "but" somewhere when it comes to going forward with the Lord. "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem and the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and we will build, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." All right, so Nehemiah comes, he presents the vision, he presents what God has called him to. It's received by those that are there. Immediately they're encouraged for this good work. They're going to rise up, they're going to build these walls. Of course, you're always going to have enemies to the work of God. You're going to always have those that are going to mock and scorn. And so you have Sanballat and Tobiah who are going to do that. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. In verse number 3, verse number 1, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, and they set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Mia. They sanctified it under the tower of Haniel. And next unto him," verse number 2. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. "And next unto them," verse number 5. "And next unto them." Look at verse number 7. "Next unto them." Verse number 8. "Next unto them." Verse number 9, "next unto them." Do you get the picture, or I got to read all these verses? You get the picture, right? All right, so Nehemiah has cast the vision. The vision has been received by the people. The leadership now has stood up and began to build. Come, if you would, to chapter number 4. Verse number 1 begins with what? But, here comes our but again. But it came to pass, then when Sembalat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah and the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. That's a lot of confidence in that wall, right? All right, so here the vision's been cast. The people have begun to, they receive the vision. The leadership has begun to build. The people have begun to build. Now persecution comes, defiance comes, mockery comes, scourging comes as far as scorning comes, and doubt comes and begins to attack the work. However, when you come over to chapter number 6, please, if you would, come on, come to chapter number 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 15, the Bible says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in how many days? 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of, say those two words, our God. All right. So even amidst all of that scoffing and persecution, God still enabled them to finish the wall. God enabled them to finish the wall in record time. And even though Sanballat said that if a fox went up on there, the wall would crumble down, we know that those walls were built with tremendous fortitude and tremendous testimony to the glory of the Lord, right? So you've got the beginning of the story. You've got the end of the story. I need you to see chapter 4, verse number 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. And finish that verse out loud with me, please. For the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. So the people had a mindset that enabled them to sustain the scoffing of those folks. They had a mindset that enabled them to sustain the vision that God had put before them. They had a mindset that enabled them to sustain the hard work. And they had a mindset that enabled them to sustain so that they would know victory. And God was very careful within the story of Nehemiah to make sure that in this marvelous, awesome book, he highlighted your mind and the importance of how it is prepared, how it is set. When you go from chapter number 4 to chapter number 6, you will find that their mind enabled them to endure certain things, and they made some neat statements in the midst of these turmoils. For example, look if you would at verse number 9 of chapter number 4. In the middle, after there's a conspiratory against them in verse number 8, verse number 9 says, nevertheless, we made our, what class? Prayer unto our God. And we set a watch against them day and night because of them. So in their mind, they were not going to be deterred. And so when the problem came and the conspiracy came to really destroy them, they didn't let that affect their mindset. Look, if you would, at verse number 14 of the same chapter, right there in the middle of it, it says, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. I tell you that if you don't have a strong mind, you don't fight. You don't get up when you get kicked down. You don't keep going forward. And here Nehemiah is telling them, now listen, we're going to have to fight. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the Christian life is a fight. And if you're defeated in your mind, you won't get up and fight. man, I've tried quitting this and I just can't quit it. I'm done. No, stop doing it in your own effort. Let God do it, for God's never failed at anything, right? So Pastor, I wanted to be more holy than I am right now, and I'm just done. No, get up. Pastor, I tried and they made fun of me. No, you got to get up. But Pastor, I'm just finished. No, you can't be defeated in your mind. You got to have the mindset of victory. So they get up. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. I mean, they're building and they're holding a weapon at the same time. When you come down to verse number 20, they make that statement at the end of there, our God shall fight for us. What an awesome mindset. Verse number 21, because of that mindset, it begins with, so we did what, class? So they labored. They didn't quit. Look at verse number 9 of chapter number 5. There's some good reasoning in this sound mind. Also, I said, it's not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? He's reminding them that it doesn't matter what your enemies say. It only matters about God. Don't be afraid of your enemies. Be afraid of the Lord. Don't look at them as all powerful. They're not. God is all powerful. These are things that have come from a mindset that has been set for victory. Look, if you would, at chapter 5, verse number 15, the last phrase of that. He says, because of the fear of God. That was a mind that had the fear of the Lord. Verse number 19, think upon me, my God, for good. This is them in their prayers. And you can come all the way down through here in Nehemiah chapters 5 and chapter 6, and you will find that in the middle of that adversity, their thought process, their reasoning, and the verbiage that came out of their mouth came out of a mind that had a biblical mindset, a mind that was right for victory. If you're with me so far, say amen. So can you imagine if they'd allowed defeat in their mind? And if defeat would have come into their mind and they would have quit, they'd have never known the miracle of putting that wall up in 52 days. They'd have never known the miracle of that good work that God had wanted to wrought in them. And as a pastor, I deal with people all the time in a defeated mind. And sometimes the difference between a defeated mind and a dead mind, a defeated mind can still at least hear and entertain truth. A dead mind just says, I'm done. God can't help me. It's over. I've just resigned to be where I am. Listen, if that's you, you made a tragic mistake in resigning your mind to be dead and not depending upon you're putting your mind upon it, depending upon the word of God. And a lot of people get defeated in their mind. So I want to talk with you a little bit about your mind. Write some things down. Come with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 22. I want you to know the first thing that you're supposed to do, the first duty of your mind, is found in Matthew chapter 22. It's also found in Mark chapter 12, and it's also found in Luke chapter 10. Matthew 22, verse 37, Mark 12, verse number 30, and Luke chapter 10, verse 27. The first duty of our mind, or what you're supposed to do with your mind, look, if you would, Matthew chapter 22, verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt, say it, class, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy what? Mind. This is the first and great commandment. The first duty that you have when it comes to your mind is that your mind is to love the Lord thy God with all of your mind. Now, if you're going to have a mind that is set to know spiritual victory, then you've got to have a mind that's in love with Jesus Christ. The Lord has to be the preeminent thought of your mind. I have found that when you're in love with someone or something, that one or that thing consumes your mind. Just a little check on you. How often today did you think about the Lord? How often today did you think about the Lord? Pastor, I thought about the Lord pretty much. I remember thanking him when I was eating. I remember something happened and I could have got hurt. And I thanked the Lord. I was blessed today and I thanked the Lord. And you know, Pastor, I find that the Lord is in my mind and in my thoughts a lot. That's evidence that you love the Lord. If you love the Lord, say amen. A mind that's going to know spiritual victory, the first duty you have is your mind has to be in love with the Lord. And he has to be the consuming thought of your mind. The devil blinds the minds of those who do not believe. I trust that the devil's not blinding your mind, but that your first duty is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your mind. And then, as I love the Lord and the Lord fills my mind, that's why you got to be careful what you put in your mind. That's why you got to be careful how you filter into your mind, what you read, what you think about, what you look at, what you entertain. Protect your mind. And then as I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind, I find that something very interesting happens. Go to Philippians chapter 2 for my third point. Philippians chapter 2. Look at this scripture. Turn with me, please. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7. Paul writing here to the church at Philippi, verse number 5, says this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in, say his name, Christ Jesus. So as I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, and as the Lord fills my mind in his person, I find that I begin in my mind to kind of have the mind of Christ. His mind influences my mind. As I am falling in love with him, I find myself submitting my mind to his mind. And as I grow in the Lord, then the mind of Christ really, really and truthfully becomes the way that I think. It becomes the filter for my own mind. Well, Pastor, I understand what you're saying, but man, I don't know the mind of God. Well, you should. Come with me to 1 Corinthians. I'll prove to you that you should. If you don't know the mind of God to some degree, then that's only evidence that you're lacking in this one situation. Look, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. Paul's writing here to defend the Lord, but he makes a great application. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Nobody's smarter than the Lord. But we have the mind of, say his name, Christ. All right? So the Bible says that you do have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ as he has indwelt within you in his person, but you also have the mind of Christ as you have the Word of God. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is found in the Word of God. And so if I'm going to have a mindset that knows spiritual victory, then I'm going to have a mind that is consumed with loving the Lord in his person. As I love the Lord and he fills my mind, I then know his mind and my mind submitted to his mind. His mind becomes my thought process. I begin to think like him. I begin to reason like him. I begin to see like him because I have his mind and I can know his mind as I read the Word of God. A defeated mind is somebody who does not spend time in God's Word. And that's evident. You must be careful that your mind is not corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And then, as I have the mind of Christ and I submit my mind to him and to his word, something happens to my mind. Go, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 26. Come back into the Old Testament here. You have to read this. If you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible, underline it. If you don't have it memorized, memorize it. Isaiah chapter 26. I want you to look, if you would, please, at verse number 3. Here's the great promise. Thou wilt keep him in, say those two words, perfect peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord. How long, class? Forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And so a mind set for victory is a mind that loves the Lord with all my mind. He fills my mind. As he fills my mind, he brings his mind in his spirit and he brings his mind through his word. I submit my mind to his mind. Therefore, I begin to think like him. I begin to ration like him. I begin to reason like him. I begin to do all of those words that was defined here. My perception becomes his perception. My consciousness becomes his consciousness. My meditation becomes like his. My understanding begins to develop and grow, and all of these happen. And then as that begins to influence my mind begins to know perfect peace. A defeated mind does not know peace. It does not know rest. In a anxious or worrisome mind will never know victory. It's true. It's true on the athletic fields, and it's true in your spiritual life. In the athletic fields, if a player doesn't play relaxed and they try, if they're so bothered in their mind and they're concentrated in their mind and they're not just doing it naturally and letting it flow, then their passes go into the ground, their throws go errant, or their kicks go rest. And the coach tries to get them to relax and to not think as much and just play the game, right? So they're relaxed. People that have the mind of Christ, people that have the word of Christ developed in their mind, that know their mind stayed upon the Lord, they know perfect peace as they make their way through life. And they don't have a defeated mindset. There is no greater reward to the Christian in my understanding than perfect peace. A defeated mind is one that is driven by anxiety. Let me give you an idea of what perfect peace looks like. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. You got to see this verse. I think it will help you to know whether you have peace about something or not. Romans chapter 14. You'll never forget this verse for every decision you make going forward. Romans 14. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 5. Paul writing here, defending the weaker brethren here. He says, one man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be, would you say those two words, fully persuaded in his what class? His own mind. Well, Paul knew that when it came as you walk with the Lord, and as it came as you organized your life, and as it came in the behaviors of your life, that your mind being fully persuaded was evidence of the peace of God. Stay with me. This is good teaching. A defeated mind vacillates. A defeated mind never knows the joy of a sound decision, never can make a decision, never knows a faithful decision. A defeated mind is always looking at the at the circumstances or the consequences, and there's always this distraction. They stay up all night wondering if they did the right thing. Then they do something, they wonder if they did the wrong thing, and it just seems like, Pastor, about the time I do this, I think I should have done this, and I think I do this, and they're influenced by everybody's opinion, and there's no persuasion in their mind. But a mind stayed upon the Lord and stayed upon his word, a mind influenced by the word of God, a mind submitted to the mind of Christ, there's that perfect peace that passeth all understanding that enables me to know persuasion, to know steadfastness, to know in my heart that this is what God's word has said. This is what I'm going to do. And I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to do what God says. If you have that desire, say amen. So here's Nehemiah. Nehemiah says to them, fellas, listen, you're all freaked out here a moment. Let me tell you, the good hand of God, God gave us this direction. Now, I understand we got these fools over here, and we got to have some good stewardship. So here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to build, and you guys are going to hold the swords. You guys are going to lay the brick, and you're going to lay the wood. You're going to build, and they're going to defend. Well, Nehemiah, there's just so much opposition. I just don't think this is the right time to do this. No, God said we're going to do this. We're going to do it. No, but don't you see? I understand. But you're letting your mind get defeated. Don't let your mind get defeated. God never will guide us where he won't provide for us. God has given us this opportunity. God will care for us. God will provide us. So we're going to be fully persuaded, fully understanding what we're going to do, and we're going to trust the Lord. And by the way, when you trust the Lord, you find he's awesome. Amen? I run into so many people who never can make a spiritual decision because they don't know the persuasion in their mind. They're always wondering, did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? And they never enjoy life. They never enjoy a step of faith. They never enjoy the thrill of trusting the Lord. And then pretty soon they get so tired of chasing their tail that they just get defeated in their mind and they quit. Listen, we have the mind of Christ. We understand that what the ability there for what God is going to do. And so a mind that is stayed upon God, it will be kept in perfect peace. If you've ever known that mind of perfect peace, say amen. Amen. Okay, so here's where most people have their problem. I'm almost done, maybe, close. Romans chapter 12. Come on. Come to Romans 12. I have one more if we make it. Romans chapter 12. Pastor, when I come to church, I get my mind set and I want victory and I want to go forward. But when I get home, it's a different world. Pastor, it seems like I have moments where I have a mind that's prepared for victory and nothing is going to stop that and I'm going to follow the Lord. And then it just seems like I have days where I lose it. I have it and then I lose it. Okay, awesome. Let me show you how to beat that. Come to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the, say that word, class, renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and, say that word, perfect will of God. So Paul here is writing and he's teaching us how the will of God, the perfect will of God, can be a reality in my life. And he says, now your mind is so important here. And you got to do battle here. You got to be strong here. You got to realize there's a fight here. Can't be conformed to the world and your default button in your mind will always be fear. Your default button will always be your sinful nature. Your default button will always take you away from faith. It will always take you the way of the flesh. It will always take you away from any pain. It will always take you away that direction. Your default button's never going to push you to do what God wants you to do. That's why you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's why you got to have the mind of God. That's why you got to be in the Word of God. And so Paul says, now listen, you got to renew your mind. And that doesn't just happen one time when you get saved and goes on. That needs to happen every single day. My girls like to exercise. That's fine. I despise it. And that's fine. But I'm trying to teach them, you got to exercise your mind. And for a Christian, you better exercise your mind in the Word of God. If you don't exercise your mind in the Word of God, your mind is going to grow weak. And your mind's going to be susceptible to defeat and discouragement, and you're just going to give in. And so as we renew our mind, the life is transformed by the renewing of the mind. So, Pastor, you know, I have good moments and I have bad moments. Well, that's probably because you're inconsistent with the Word. 2018, every single day you got to be in God's Word. Every single day you've got to tie that mind. You got to renew that mind. You've got to let God's Word tell your mind that God can do anything. You got to let God's Word tell you, get up. Okay, you messed up. Get up. Let's go. Come on. No. It's not too big for me. You got to let that mind be renewed. Or you'll be like Allie. And you'll be beat before you ever get on that soccer field. When in reality, you're good enough to win. And I got news for you. You're not good enough to win, but our God is good enough to win every time. Lastly, Hebrews chapter 12. Come to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll be done. I'm going to make it by 8 o'clock. Verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint, where, class, in your mind. You have to guard against becoming weary and fainting in our minds because of what life brings. And this is what Nehemiah was able to do with the nation of Israel. They were in the midst of horrific, horrific conspiracy against them. And the project just looked immense, okay? And if anybody had an opportunity to quit, it would be them. But you found that Nehemiah kept encouraging them. He said, now listen, fellas, we don't need to be afraid of them. We need to be afraid of the Lord. Fellas, we don't have to do what they say. We need to do what God says. Hey, fellas, God's going to fight our battle for us. He kept bringing to them the truths of the Word of God. And he would not let the trials be used to bring a weariness and a faintedness into their mind. Well, Pastor, my life is difficult. It seems like I have trials every day. It seems like I have more failures than I have successes. It seems like I can never get ahead. It seems like I'm always chasing my tail. It seems like I'll have a good morning, but my afternoon and my evening are horrific. Right. But you also need to remember, you have an enemy that would love to destroy you. There's always an opposing team. And we have an opposing team on a soccer field. There's a team of opposition, and they look fierce. In the spiritual battle, we have an enemy, and he looks fierce. And he's going to hinder us. The Bible talks about that. But you can't let the falling down and the hindrances and the trials make you quit in your mind. Don't you remember learning how to ride a bike? Aren't you glad you learned how to ride a bike? And I wiped out so many times on a bike, I never dreamed I'd ever get. And then finally, I got to be where I could ride a bike. We get so defeated, we get so discouraged, that we let the trials of life just keep us down. And we never stand up and go through with what God has for us because we've been defeated in our mind. I know one great man in the Bible that happened to, and his name would be Elijah. You ought to read 1 Kings chapter 18 and 1 Kings chapter 19. You ought to study Elijah. And you will see in Elijah, exactly what can happen to a man if you let your mind be defeated. So here's my points one more time. God's people can have need a mindset of victory. The first duty you have in your mind is to love God with your mind. As you love the Lord, point number three, you're able to have the mind of Christ through the Word of God. In getting the mind of Christ, you find in number four that the mind that has stayed on God will be kept in perfect peace. It knows persuasion. It doesn't vacillate. It knows direction. It knows what's right, what's wrong, a direction where God has for it. Point number five is, as I'm stayed on that perfect peace, in order to keep it, my mind's got to be renewed every day. You can't get defeated in your mind. I'll give you my sixth point, and then I'll say one other thing. You got to learn to guard against becoming weary and fainting in our minds because of trouble or trial. Lord, don't let me be wrong here. I don't want to be wrong here. Do you know when you have a sinful thought? If you've ever had a sinful thought, would you say amen? Do you ever get a thought and think, good night, where did that thought come from? How in the world? You know when my most wicked thoughts come into my mind? When I'm praying. Does anybody else have that problem? I bow my knee to pray and my mind thinks about things that, holy mackerel. So I'll stand up and I'll say, whoa. Lord, I plead the blood of Christ on my mind. I know when I have a sinful thought and I know how to grab that thought. But a faithless thought is just as dangerous as an immoral thought. And you've got to learn when a faithless thought and an immoral thought or a thought against God's word or a defeating thought comes into your mind, you got to grab that sucker by the throat. You got to immediately arrest that thought. And you better know what to do with that thought. And you can't just say, I can't think like that. That's not going to work. Well, pastor told me to sing. No, I didn't. You've got to be able to take that thought and acknowledge where that thought came from. Acknowledge the hell that is behind it. Take that thought and arrest it in your mind and replace that thought with the eternal word of God. And begin to anchor your mind on what God says, not what that stupid thought says. Renew that mind. Immediately renew that mind. And that mind will be set. And you'll have a wonderful 2018. And you'll know great victory. There is a danger to a defeated mind. I beg you not to go into the year with that. Shall we pray?